Go ahead. Let me have it. Okay. There were three questions that we were dealing with. One question was, what element of Malchus was in Moav? And we have identified the element of Malchus known as Mesiras Nefesh, dedication, motivation, going above and beyond the call of duty, something which is in the genes of many people who are the antecedents of Malchus, such as David HaMelech, such as Tamar, such as Yehuda, such as we did was what, how did aspects of Malchus get mission that consciously was trying to accomplish by finding that neshama, those genes of Malchus that he can incorporate into Klal Yisrael? I'm not using my phone, so therefore it's going to be harder to hear me. Yeah. So this midah of Malchus that Elimelech was looking for, which he knew was in Moav because he was a Baal HaMesorah, and he was aware of the conversation Moshe Rabbeinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu concerning not destroying Moav and Midian for that matter because of two girls, Rus and Naama, who were going to eventually marry into and become part of the Malchus Yisrael. It all started with Lot. Lot was escaping from Sodom. Lot was a Talmud of Avram Avinu. However, Lot left the environs of his Rebbe Avram before he was really ready to go and be married with Torah. He made a grave mistake trying to be melamed before having finished the stage of Lilmod. It seems that Lot was a bit into money. If you look at the psukim in Parshas Lech Lecha, which describes that Avram Avinu was going to Eretz Canaan because he was following Hashem's command, pasuk ends after saying that Avram Avinu was 75 years old by stating that Lot came with him. By Avram Avinu it says Kasher Dibur Hashem, but by Lot it says Avram was old, rich, and childless, and Lot came along. Lot wanted the Yerusha. Lot basically went along with his uncle Avram because he wanted the Yerusha. When they traveled down to Mitzrayim during the first famine that Avram encountered in Eretz Canaan, Lot picked up a feeling for Znus, for rice in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was known as an area that was always full of Znus and Arayis, always known as being a place of licentiousness. And apparently he picked up a little of this feeling while he was there. And then Rashi tells us, why did Lot choose to go to Sodom when after the battle of the shepherds of Avram and Lot, Lot decided he had to leave? He went to Sodom, Rashi says, because they too were shtufe zima. They too were involved in immoral, inappropriate activities. Chazal tell us the name of Reb Levi. Rashi brings it down in Perek Tetes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, that someone who is into Znus was sof ma'achilin oso mi'besaro. In the end, he can't satisfy his desires. He'll be fed from his own flesh. And in this case, his desire for Znus was fed by his own daughters. Lot thought somehow he was going to be Makari of the people of Sodom. Lot had a misguided Mesiras Nefesh, similar to his father Haran before him, who jumped into the Kivshon HaEsh after seeing that Avram Avinu survived the test by Nimrod. But Haran wasn't all there. Wasn't completely into the bitachon of Hashem. It was a little wishy-washy. And he died. Al pnei Terach Oviv, during the time that his father Terach was still alive. Lot, similar to his father with a misguided Mesiras Nefesh, now went to Sodom where he was Yoshev Sha'ar Sodom. He sat by the gates of Sodom. We know that Chazal say that meant he had been appointed a judge. The literal translation of the pasuk Yoshev Sha'ar Sodom, that he sat by the gates, is also true. Ein Mikriyotzi Midei Pshuto. That's where the court cases took place. But that was a good place for him to be if he wanted to imitate something he learned from Avraham Avinu, namely, to be Machnas Orach. You want to be Machnas Orach, you see everyone coming in through the gates of the city. That gives you many people who potentially can be Machnas Orach, including the Malachim who then came to save him. When he took the Malachim home, Chazal tell us what he was planning on feeding them. It was Pesach. He was going to feed them matzah. As we learned the Beis Halevi, we learned the Haggadah Shirim. Even though Yetzias Mitzrayim had not happened yet, that's not the real reason why there's a mitzvah of matzah. The real reason why there's a mitzvah of matzah, we don't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a mitzvah of matzah. He then designed the entire history of the universe in such a way that we left Mitzrayim with unleavened bread on our back to give us more of a time for the mitzvah. More of a hargosha for the mitzvah. But matzah existed. Avraham Avinu baked matzahs. Lot baked matzahs. He was a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. He was bringing the Malachim home and he was going to feed them matzah. So now Lot, who again was trying his best or had a certain misguided Mesiras Nefesh, influenced by money, influenced by Znus, now he's leaving Sodom as Sodom is being destroyed. And his daughter's thoughts, very logically, all the men in the world were dead. Ein ish ba'aretz lovo elenu. There's no one to marry. Because they thought, if Avraham Avinu was still alive, he was a person in Ish Yashar, cared about everybody. For sure, he would have tried successfully to save Sodom. If our uncle Avram was still alive, our great uncle Avram was still alive, for sure, Sodom would not be destroyed. Avraham would have davened for it, and it would have been saved. If Sodom must be destroyed, they figured logically, it must be that Avraham Avinu already died from old age. He was a very old man, you know. He must have already died from old age. So therefore, these girls made a mistake. We do know that these two daughters of Lot were very tznua. They had grown up in the house of Sari Menu. And remember the tzniest level of Sari Menu. Ki neino yodati, said Avraham Avinu, as they were about to enter into Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us he saw a reflection of Sari in the water. He said, ki neino yodati, now I know how beautiful you are. What do you mean, now I know? Some of the Farshim say he saw a reflection. After all this traveling, she still looked so beautiful. But Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu had not actually seen his wife's face for a long time. Sarah practiced a type of tznius, but the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't dress that way today. We don't believe in burkas today. But Sarah Imenu dressed in such a super tznius way. And therefore, Avraham Avinu had not seen her face till she was washing herself by a river on their way into Mitzrayim. Rasha in Bava Basra points out that, of course, the Mishnah Maseches Kedushin in Achim Aleph says one is not allowed to get married without first viewing his wife, lest he finds her despicable in his eyes and does not have the ability to fulfill the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha towards her. So he obviously saw her before they got married. It says the Marsha, it's been 60 years that Sari Menu had her face covered in the home. He neino yodati, says Avraham Avinu. Now I see how beautiful you are. Growing up in such a house, Lot's daughters did not dress that way, but they definitely picked up a certain degree of tznius. We mentioned yesterday, parenthetically, Tamar dressed that way in the house. That's why when she dressed like Kazona, she took off her veil. The Zona is not the one in the veil. That's not good for business. The Zona is the one without the veil. And Yehuda didn't recognize her. Because in the house, he didn't see her face. So these girls grew up in the house of Sarah, and they were tsnuos, and they were Moser Nefesh and Sodom to remain besulos, as the Pasuk says about them. Asher lo yadu ish, they never knew a man in the biblical sense. They were besulos. And now, they thought that no men in the world were alive. What will be? The world has to continue. They had to break their nature of tznius and to be Moser Nefesh, to very uncomfortably live with their father in order to repopulate the earth. As the Pasuk says, Lo sol v'ra l'sheves yitzara. The world was not created to be desolate. They knew they had an imperative. They had to repopulate the earth. They thought they were doing something very important, but very difficult, because they were basically tznuos. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Lamed Ches in the days, calls the act they did with Lot a mitzvah. Tosfos over there, Devar Maskil Olam, says, L'shem Shamayim Nischavnu. They were completely L'shem Shamayim, to repopulate the earth. The Gemara Nozer and Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph says they did it L'shem Mitzvah. In fact, the older one who did the mitzvah first, she was rewarded with 4 additional Jewish generations than the younger one. The older one had more Mesiris Nefesh, because it was harder to be first to overcome her tznias. She was yakdim l'mitzvah, and that enabled her to give birth to Moab, predecessor of Rus, while her sister gave birth to Amram, predecessor of Naamah, who was the one who married Shlomo HaMelech to have Rehovam, to continue the dynasty of Davidic kings. She was much later in the history than Rus and David HaMelech. This Mesiris Nefesh against one's natural inclination was necessary, thereby sowing the seeds of Malchus into Moab, the elder son. Now, the reason why this all sounds so strange to you is because most of you are not familiar with that Tosfos in Bava Kamma. You're familiar with Rashi, because Rashi and Chumash is Lishitaso. Rashi and Chumash is critical of the first daughter. She was more of a mechutzif. She was the one who first lived with her father, the first one to be mezane, and did something that was crazy. She was punished for naming her son Moab. Moab. Me'av. What a disgusting thing to do. It's one thing to feel you have to do this with your father, and then to tell everyone, my son is Moab. And that's the way that Rashi explains it, which is why we all grew up thinking the first one was worse. But Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns the first one was greater, it was a bigger mitzvah. For many years I was bothered. I knew the Tosfos. Moav, Me'av. According to Tosfos, that she was the greater one. She was the bigger tzaddikus, the one who had more schusim. Why would she do such a terrible thing to call her son Moav? Me'av, from the father. Why would she do that? Yeah. And then I saw Moshe Feinstein in one of the introductions to one of the Chalakim of Dibris Moshe. I was in an airplane going above my house. It's very loud. That was close. But Moshe Feinstein, in one of the introductions to Dibris Moshe, his Sfarim on Shas, says, and it could be he said he saw this in a dream. I don't remember the details. I don't remember which Hakdama was in. I did not look it up recently. But he writes, she did it with a good kavan. She was afraid that her son would be touted as a god by his future children, grandchildren, and so on, because who was the father? couldn't have been Lot. That was his grandfather. Who was the father? Chas v'shalom would be a situation of immaculate conception, which eventually led to a Yashka type of situation. The claim of immaculate conception. You thought it only happened to Anakin Skywalker. Sorry. Couldn't resist that. Apologize. People would call him a god. So she named him Moav, so everyone would know Me'av, what she did to have that child. So the Moshe Feinstein said, you see, she was a tzedekis. That's how Tosfos would learn her calling her son Moav. It was also a good thing to do. She had a good strategy. So Elimelech knew all of this. Again, he's a Baal HaMesorah. Stories like this and the details of what happened in the cave with Lot and the two daughters, how would anyone know? Did Moshe Rabbeinu interview them? Was this something that was kept as a family Mesorah? And Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, they didn't get along with Moav. They went and interviewed CNN News and Fox News. No, no, no. It was all told to Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashinah. He knew all these details. He understood who Lot really was, understood his background, understood the daughters, understood the Mesorah's Nefesh. All this came through the Mesorah. Nachshon ben Aminadov was a Baal HaMesorah. His son Elimelech was a Baal HaMesorah, as Rav Moshe David Vali said earlier, when understanding that Moav couldn't be destroyed because there's some of Rus somewhere in there. So I will say, Elimelech knew this also. He knew all of this. He had all of this in the Mesorah. It's all there in Chazal. So he knew all of this in Mesorah. As such, he knew that the mission to find the genes of Malchus, the genes of Mesiras Nefesh, existed in Moav. And therefore, he knew this was the element of Malchus that he had to find. He knew how it got to Moav. He knew it was in Moav. And now we only have to answer our third question, which is, how is Elimelech going to find this neshama in Moab?
Question. Rabbi, how do you answer, like, in short, like, so he just found the answer to the second question?
He had a Mesorah that in Moab was this neshama, and it came through the Mesiras Nefesh of Lot's daughters. Yes, right in the sentence, there it is. But how is he going to find it? Vayelech, says the pasuk. Vayelech ish mislech Yehuda lo v'ristei Moav hu v'yishtosh nevon. First pasuk. Vayelech. He went to Moav where he knew of a more recent Mesiras Nefesh. The existence of the genes of this Midah, he knew were there. And he believed that if he could get his sons to marry those girls, it would begin the Malchus that would eventually lead to Mashiach, but for his purposes, would attain the goal of Malchus versus Vayhid and Meshvot HaShoftim, the people who didn't listen to the judges. He's paid a government to reinforce the judges, thereby bringing a tshuva, Meira, to Klal Yisrael and end the famine. Okay, what did he see? Eglon Melech Moav, the father of Rus. Eglon Melech Moav had a Mesiras Nefesh incident in Shoftim Perek Gimel Pasuk Chaf with the Rashis. Ehud, one of the Shoftim, a Navi, came to Eglon Melech Moav and said, I have a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told the people that the message he had was a Dovor Seser, a secret message that can only be told to the king. Eglon sent out all of his attendants. Eglon had also a system of security. Before a person walked into his throne room, his left hip was checked. Because a righty draws his sword from his left hip. Ehud was a lefty. Should I quote it? I too am a lefty. Maybe it references to Princess Bride. Okay, well, I too am a lefty. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Ehud was a lefty. Therefore, his hip was on the right side. So, again, they didn't have metal detectors. He was able to hide and bring in a sword on his right hip. When he told Egon Melech Moab, I have a message to you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the assistants left, Eglon Melech Moab stood up. That was an act of Mesiris Nefesh. Standing up is an act of Mesiris Nefesh. I mean, you know what happened to him then. Ehud pulled out his left-handed sword, stuck him in the stomach, and the way it was described to me by whatever teacher I had that taught this to me, third or fourth grade, he turned it around like a washing machine and basically killed Eglon. But the very last thing Eglon did was stand up when he heard it's a message from Hashem. What was the Mesiris Nefesh? There were two. Number one, Eglon Melech Moav was extremely heavy, as we call today, horizontally challenged. It was very hard for him to get himself up out of his chair. And he had no assistants. They had all left because of the Davar Seser. Can't say it in public. He got out of his chair himself when he heard the message from Hashem. That's pretty impressive. I believe it was Rav Moshe Shisko, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law. He was sick towards the end of his life. No, I don't believe it was Rav Moshe Shisko. Could be it was. I don't remember. It was a particular individual who was very ill towards the end of his life. And when Rav Moshe Feinstein used to call this individual on the phone to wish him for Shalema, he would get dressed, put on his jacket, put on his hat. Over the phone, there was no Zoom. Rav Moshe couldn't see him. But he felt in awe. How can I speak to the Gadol HaDor without being appropriately dressed, lying in bed in his pajamas? Eglon showed kavod for the Shem Hashem, a message from Hashem. Who even knew if it was going to be a good message? So that was a Mesiris Nefesh, to get up to do that. And a second Mesiris Nefesh was, the natural inclination of a human king is to deny Hashem. Like Paro did in Mitzrayim, like Nimrod did to Avraham Avinu. I never heard that God. Who's he? So the Medrash tells us that Eglon Melech Moav was rewarded. Hashem said, since you stood up from your throne to give cover to me, you will have a descendant who will sit on my throne as the Melech Yisrael. David Melech Yisrael, great-grandson of Rus, the daughter of Eglon. Because of Eglon's Mesiris Nefesh, that gene was implanted into his daughter Rus. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Kofamid Bey says that Rus was a granddaughter of Balak. Apparently, since Eglon was the daughter, what was the father of Rus, and Balak was therefore the father of Eglon. Now, the generations don't work perfectly. Tosfos says, Harbe Doros Hoysacher Eglon. So he was a descendant. It may not have been her actual grandfather, it could have been a great, great, great grandfather. Says the Medrash about Balak, Melech Moav, who then became Melech Midian. A lot of confusion. In the schus, says the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, in the schus of the 42 karbonos that Balak brought, along with Bilam, who seven times made him set up mizbechos, six times, he set up seven mizbechos. Six times seven is 42. Because of Balak bringing these karbonos, it was a Mesiris Nefesh to bring these karbonos. A misguided Mesiris Nefesh. He wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. But the gene was there of Mesiras Nefesh to try to destroy Klal Yisrael. Because he knew armies couldn't do it, he went and got Bilam. And they were doing it in a strange way with all the Karbanos. Says the Medrash, because of the 42 Karbanos in the Zohar to have Eglon as a descendant, or maybe a son, whose daughter was Rus. And the Gemara Nazir tells him that Chav Gimel Midbeis is such a thing called an Avera Lishma, which is more powerful than a mitzvah Shalol Lishma. So here you have a misguided Nesiras Nefesh versus Klal Yisrael, and yet there was an element in it that's very valuable. The Midah of Malchus, the genes of royalty. So Elimelech knew where it was. He knew it had to be one of the daughters of Eglon. Ez Hashem, tomorrow we will finalize the answers, put it all together, explain what was going on in Elimelech's head, what was going on in Elimelech's subconscious heart, and understand, hopefully fully, the beginning of the story of Megillas Rus.